All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton, post-draft edition of the show, as the Buccaneers have six brand new names. Actually, more than that because there's undrafted free agents, but you know what I'm talking about. New Buccaneers, new potential Buccaneers, from all the way up to the 19th overall pick in round one, Emeka Buka, all the way down to any number of the free agent signings. Some of them will be on the roster of 53 when we get going in August and finally make those final cutdowns. Some of them won't. Either way, it's always very exciting acquiring new employees. And I know the fans love it because all the draft talk was, as it always is, just getting to the point where I was going cross-eyed. Like, and I know some people are draft nerds and some people really eat, sleep, and breathe this stuff. And of course, I'm interested in it as well, as any football fan is. I like the draft. I have people over. We have a party. It's a whole thing. But I was kind of getting a little draft prepped out by all the tweets of some random practice rep at the Senior Bowl in Mobile or the 45th mock draft from some guy that works for something called like the Football Network or one of these random outlets that you don't even know is a real thing. And I follow them just like anybody else, or I follow people who follow them and retweet it. But man, it was just nice to have the real deal, right? And so here we are. The Buccaneers did their thing, and it's kind of weird in a way, being a longtime Buck fan who's grown up following this team for, you know, going on four decades now, because Jason Light's the man. Everybody loves Jason Light, and the reviews are glowing, right? Like, he's earned the credibility. I agree, by the way. But I'm saying perception means a lot. Nobody knows anything about any of this stuff, especially what it's going to look like in the future. So we all go on vibes, man, and the vibes right now are great about this Buccaneer draft. Everybody's loving the picks. Sure, there's some questions about positional need in the first round, which we're going to get to on the show today. But everything I look at that does, you know, that people do the draft grades, and oh, they got an A. People do draft grades because it's not obsessive enough to do 45 mock drafts before the draft. Once the draft ends, I saw people doing draft grades just for day one. Like, literally everybody made one pick, and some people didn't make any picks. We're going to do a grade for that. Now we'll do a full draft grade a day later, two days later, but we got to do one just for your first-round pick. Like, people just want to put stuff out. And as long as they're getting people to click on it, and as long as they're making money, and as long as nobody's getting hurt, I guess it's fine. But my point is, everybody's all about the Bucs draft, baby. A+, maybe an A- here and there. And again, it's perception. There's no reason to even do draft grades right now. We don't know what anything means. In fact, every year, because I used to do this on my old radio show, we would grade like the draft from 3, 4, or 5 years ago or something like that, when you can actually look at something tangible and say, here's what happened. But I do agree. I feel good about it. I like what the Bucs did. How I feel, how you feel, even how the people who spent weeks and months and hours upon hours upon hours on this every day, even how they feel doesn't matter because we don't know for sure. But I'll say this much. Draft goes on last Thursday night, round one. Prime time, all that stuff. I got home a little late. I had, you know, my life is very different now than it used to be when I could plan around these things and it was like the central thing going on. Now I'm like, youth sports this, youth sports that. I think I got home and they were already on like this 10th pick or something because my son had a game and then we had a practice after the game. So it just never ends. But anyway, draft seems to be going well. Everybody's always got the list of names even in their head, or maybe sometimes they write it down or whatever of, oh, I like this guy, or I hope we get this guy or that, whatever. And not a lot of them were coming off the board, right? I mean, when we got to within like 5 picks of the Bucs picking, you know, Jihad Campbell was a name that was out there a lot for the Bucs, still there. The corner from Michigan, Johnson, was still there. Starks from Georgia, the safety. It got to a point, because at this point, like you maybe, I was 100,000,000% maybe sure they were going to draft defense. Like, if you had told me to bet literally anything that's ever been important to me ever on whether the Bucs would go offense or defense, I would have bet defense without even worrying about losing. And I'm thinking, okay. I even tweeted it out on my Twitter, at Bobby Game Day. I'm thinking, all right, you know, I don't know who they're going to go with because we all have our preferences and there's different routes each person might want them to go. There's different routes Jason Light wants to go. But there's a lot of good defensive talent out there. We're going to get our guy on defense. Whoever that is, we're going to get a good defensive player with this first-round pick. You could see it even back at like pick 13 or 14 because there was just a lot of good names still out there, and the draft was kind of falling the way you kind of wanted it to. Now, like I always say, all the mock drafts are meaningless. All the speculation's meaningless. Nobody knows anything. Nobody in the pre-draft process has stock rising or falling. That's all just media people jerking each other off about their different mock drafts. Only the 32 GMs and then a handful of other people within each organization know anything. And usually what they know isn't nearly as volatile and subject to rising and falling stock as what the media thinks it is. So usually when something happens, I'm sure there are moments in war rooms when things go haywire or maybe somebody takes a guy you thought you were going to get or whatever happens. But usually in war rooms, teams know what they're going to do. And then as the draft falls, there might be a little bit of variation in one direction or another, but it's not the bombshell we all think it is. We just didn't know it yet. You know, I mean, it was weeks in advance, they probably knew this was something they wanted to do. So Bucks come up to pick at 19. They announce Emeka Ibuka. Took me a second. Like, took you a second, right? Like, when the words came out of Roger Goodell's mouth, I had to kind of, I knew who Emeka Ibuka was, but I was totally unprepared to hear that name or any offensive player's name called. And then it washes over you for a few seconds. And listen, again, I sent this out on Twitter. I'm not upset. I like it. I mean, he's a really good player. I am surprised. And a few days later, I'm still surprised. But here's what you got to understand. Again, all those names you heard about in mock drafts, all those things, the Bucks had a board, just like every team has a board. And I only was Emeka Ibuka on top of it when pick number 19 came around. Because even if something's kind of close, you know, like, a lot of this isn't black and white. It's very subjective. So you don't have like a flat out hardcore, this person is better than this person, this person is better. You know, there might be a grouping of guys like tiers, like these guys are in this tier, then your next tier down. So if something's close, then maybe you lean toward positional need. But apparently it was not, because the Buccaneers, I assure you, aren't just out here saying, the defense is great, no problem, we got the... They proved that with the rest of their picks. After the first rounder, the next four guys were all defense before they took Tez Johnson, the wide receiver. So they know that. They really did not think all that much of what was out there. And, you know, time will tell, but this did seem like a year where just overall, it wasn't an awesome draft. It feels like, from what everything I'm reading, if you look at the college players that are going to be draft eligible next year, next year's draft will be a much better one. And they just didn't really feel like they liked what they saw. So you take a guy at a position, and when I say position, I don't even really mean position so much as a side of the ball that maybe it looks like you don't need that much. But here's the thing about drafting for need. Needs change. This stuff is all very, very subject to fluctuations. What you think you need right now, and you may need it right now, but in a year or 2 years or more, or maybe even less, may be completely different. Okay, so you can never go wrong drafting good players. Now, the argument is, well, hey, what if you're really close? And some people think the Bucks are really close. I think they're close. What if you think you can really win a Super Bowl and you need to make that next move? What's the spot of weakness right now that can put us over the top and get us to the Super Bowl? I think it's edge rusher. Okay, it's not even corner, even though we need those too. I think it's edge rusher, and they didn't feel great about any of the edge rushers right there. So do you do it just to say you did it? Or do you get a guy who you think can play for you for a long time? And let me say this. Ibuka, I mean, the reviews from other teams, from his own people, from anybody involved in this process in any way, almost across the board are glowing about the type of player and the type of person he is. So does that mean he's going to be a great player? I don't know. And what if he's another Chris Godwin, which is kind of what the mold he's in? You know, people say, oh, they're kind of filling that void that may be left, you know, when the years pass by a little bit. Well, hell, the Bucs got Chris Godwin in the third round. So you're saying, okay, even he is Chris Godwin. We could have waited and gotten a Chris Godwin type later. Shouldn't we have gotten somebody better, higher? And again, only time will tell when we look back at this draft when it's 2028 or 2029 or something. But right now, the Bucs thought the answer was no, that we got to get him right now. And, you know, the thing about the receiver pick is, how can you go third, you shouldn't be getting the number three spot at any position on your team with your first round pick. You want a starter, you want a guy who's a prime guy. We're drafting wide receiver three with our first round pick. And listen, the Bucs, things aren't always as they appear. At receiver, they look stacked. Oh, they got Evans, they got Godwin, they got McMillan. They got a little bit of room to move at receiver. They could have waited till later rounds. Well, Evans is showing no signs yet, but he's 32. He's going to have to, at some point, start a little bit of a downtick, and I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, but it may. Chris Godwin's hurt every 10 minutes, and I don't mean that, I shouldn't even say it that way. I don't mean that in a derogatory way like he's soft. But, I mean, he's got an injury history. He's coming back from another one here. He's supposed to be okay by opening day, week one, whatever. My point is, you know, and then McMillan had a great first year. We'll see. But we might be really, really, really glad we have a guy like this in Ibuka in a couple of years when things may not seem as ironclad at receiver as they do right now, you know? So I have no problem with it. Like I said, I am surprised. We still have to make a stop, and this team still has to get after the quarterback and has not done that. And I know they went, it was the fourth round when they finally took David Walker, a kid out of Central Arkansas, who, again, glowing reviews. He was dominant there. I know it's not the Division I-A level, but still, a lot of people have a lot of good things to say about him. We'll see. Same thing, round five, they took Elijah Roberts from SMU, and maybe one or both of those guys will work out. You know, rusher is one of those glamour positions. There's certain positions that you can find value anywhere in the draft, and there's certain positions where there is a precipitous drop in the likelihood a guy will be a star with every passing pick and every passing round. Edge rushers, you tend to find those in the higher rounds, the really good ones, and then as you get later in the draft, it's less likely. And then you get some other positions, it doesn't matter as much. You can get them later and still get lots of production. We'll see. But, you know, for right now, I mean, that was a surprise, I admit. But Jason Light has earned our trust. And again, at least at the very least, since they didn't go the position or the side of the ball we thought they'd go, I think most of us like the guy they did pick, even though it was a surprise. And I'm okay with it. And obviously, only time will tell. I say that all the time. I mean, if you're making any definitive proclamations right now, like I see media members and fans doing very commonly about anything that happens in a draft that was like literally this year's draft and nobody's even played yet, you don't have to do that. Like, I know, and maybe I should know this because I used to be a radio guy and now doing a podcast. Maybe it's our job to have takes. Maybe it's our job to really, really, really sound that we're like totally convinced about what we're saying. I mean, you want that conviction, don't you? But it only really matters if it's real conviction and if there's a reason for having it and if it's not put on or contrived. And anybody who actually, well, some of the people maybe really do believe this stuff, but the best thing to say right now is, hey, we'll see. They're very empty words. They don't give you any conclusions. They don't give you any answers. They don't leave you feeling fulfilled, but they're the most honest words of anything you can say about things like the NFL draft. We'll see. Now, if you do want to take with some conviction about this draft, I'll go ahead and give you one of those now, because the whole Shedeur Sanders thing that was going on throughout this, the two and a half days, I found the whole thing very off-putting. I have found the whole Deion head coach with his son, the quarterback thing. I mean, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that, and he's a good quarterback, and you know, it's not daddy ball or anything like that. I didn't have a problem with that. But this whole idea that somehow Shedeur Sanders' draft prospects were a bigger story than anybody else's, and I get who, you know, his dad is Deion, he's a Hall of Famer, so there's going to be more attention. I understand that. But I found it all very off-putting. Like, I don't like when people make a big deal out of something that isn't any bigger of a deal than anything else that happens 20 times a day or 20 times a year and we don't say anything about, and this one thing that's nothing out of the ordinary gets made a big deal about it. I've always found that off-putting, and that's what was going on with Shedeur, who got drafted probably, again, like I said at the top of the show, in a place that he was going to get drafted all along. It wasn't some meteoric fall, oh my God, he's plummeting. No, he was probably always going to be a third, fourth, fifth round somewhere in there. And that's where he ended up going. And of course, there were plenty of other quarterbacks also not getting their name called in that time, about of equal talent level. And nobody thought anything of it because it just seemed normal. Well, this was normal too. And so what really, really I found off-putting about the whole thing this kid, and he's a kid. I know all these guys are kids. I didn't used to think that, but now that I'm older, I realize it. Even my son, who's 13, he hears me refer to him as kids because to him, these guys are, you know, grown men. I remember when you're in elementary school or middle school, you look at college football players, you think they're men. They're kids. 18 maybe when we call them an adult, but I know now that I went through it. I wasn't anywhere near, you know, knowing what I know now back then. So this kid has his own draft room, which in and of itself is a red flag to me. And instead, you can go wherever you want for the draft. I don't care if you're in the green room, you want to go to New York and do the podium walk. That's cool, although I guess it's best that it didn't work out that way for Shadur. But then you want to have your own thing at your house or somewhere else, fine. Do whatever you want. He builds his own draft room, though. The walls are plastered with words like legendary, perfect. Did you see that? Like, if you didn't see it, you can probably Google it. It was like a bunch of like graffiti type stuff on the walls, but read the words that were on the wall. Legendary and perfect were the two that stood out for me. For a guy that had a college career pretty much in the similar vein of literally hundreds of other guys before him and hundreds more after him. There's nothing legendary or perfect in any way, shape, or form about him or his college career. And I'm thinking to myself, like, has self-awareness really just completely died? And I don't just mean people like him. I mean the people that enable people like him. And I don't even just mean the people that enable him and his family or his handlers. I mean the public. All of us. Because so many times in this world, and I'm not just talking about Shador, and I'm not even just talking about sports. I'm talking about just society in general. In the newspapers every day, and I'm really going to try hard not to get political here. But just so often in this world, people do things or say things or fail to do things that should make them the object of complete ridicule, at the very least, and at worst, out-and-out pariahs in society. And not only does that not happen, but a lot of times they're rewarded for these behaviors or lack thereof. It's like self-awareness is completely out the window. It's no longer a big deal to make a fool of yourself. It's no longer a big deal to say the most wrong-headed things in the world with total conviction and then get proven wrong. And you think, oh man, here comes the comeuppance, here comes the consequence. Whatever, just move on to the next thing. Nobody cares. So I see a kid like Shador. I see these stupid draft room, you know, graffiti on the wall and these words. And the first thing I think to myself is, okay, that's something where even as a 21-year-old kid, I would have known better than that. But even if I didn't, I have people, you know, I have family, I have friends, I have, the dad is the first one you think of, who needs to step up and say, hey man, let's slow our roll a little bit here. Let's stay humble a little bit. Hopefully we do get drafted in the top five, like we heard the Giants might take. I hope all that happens, but whether it does or not, we will not have accomplished anything by Thursday night, okay? The real work starts after we get drafted. So let's hold off on the things like legendary and perfect and stop trying to make ourselves an overnight superstar without playing any football, and let's just focus on the football. And you know what? Obviously, his dad is Deion, so the humility is not really in their vocabulary, but Deion is a Hall of Fame talent, a generational talent. And while Shador is good enough to get drafted in the NFL, which in and of itself is an outstanding accomplishment, he doesn't quite rise to the level of being able to use words like legendary and perfect and this and that and the other before having ever actually done anything. So I found the whole thing really off-putting. I kept fighting a battle in my own mind because I was tempted to say, ah, screw that. Yeah. Say, no, not that guy, that kid. I keep forgetting they're kids. The older I get, the more I kind of back off on the heavy criticism of people who are an age that used to seem old to me that now no longer seems old. I don't know how many of you guys out there feel the same way. I'm 44. And so maybe when I was myself in college, oh, that guy's a punk, that guy's this, that guy's that. Or even in my 20s when we all still kind of felt the same age, maybe even in my 30s. But now that I'm in my 40s, they seem young now, you know, and they are young. I mean, I almost feel bad for Shador in a way. I mean, not really, but a little bit. And he may end up going on having a hell of a career for the Browns and become their starting quarterback and bring the first Super Bowl to Cleveland ever. And, you know, he may do all that. Hey, great, whatever, more power to him. But, you know, the guidance has to come from the people that are a little bit older, that have been through it before, that understand things. Your parents, you know, but like I said, it's Deion, so you're not going to get that. But it just looked really, really foolish. And it would have looked foolish if he'd gotten drafted in the top five, too. It only made it to look worse the way he fell in the draft, or I shouldn't say fell, the way he was drafted lower than everybody thought in the draft. But even if he had gotten drafted that high, I mean, I see this all the time. I know I sound like an old man yelling at a cloud right now, but I see this all the time with my son. Like I said, he's 13 in seventh grade. He plays tackle football. He plays flag football. He plays travel baseball, rec league basketball. And I coach a lot of these teams. You know, I see it all the time. It's such a me culture. And maybe when I was a kid, my dad was saying it, and that maybe every generation says this about the new generation. Maybe this is one of those things that you could go back to the 1950s and they thought those kids were. But it, like, a kid makes a play now, one play in a game of hundreds of plays where you could be on top one play and then down the next. It doesn't matter. On that one play, a kid makes a play and they strut, and they've got to, especially like, the big thing, if you have kids, you probably know, is called head topping. Like, any ball that's thrown where anybody is anywhere near you and you still catch it, you quote-unquote head topped them, even though most of these catches are fairly routine. And then you have to, like, stand. My favorite is when the kids, like, stand over the guy that they just made a play on, as if the kid that they're standing over didn't bat down three passes in a row on them before that. They made that one play on that one time, and they're going to let you know about it. And I have to tell them all the time, but here's the thing, like I was telling you, they're kids, they don't know any better. It's got to be about the adults. I'm shocked at how often I find I'm the only one saying anything, because it's just understood and normal. And maybe it's TikTok, maybe it's YouTube, or all the million other stupid things that, you know, my son scrolls all these things. I have to block all these apps on his phone, or he'll be on the phone, you know, for 10 straight hours. And they see all this stupid, just, if you have kids, and again, if you do, you already know what I'm talking about. Just go do a random YouTube scroll of what they're watching, or I mean, at least mine. It's not obscene, nothing like, oh, I can't believe he saw that. It's just the most inane, stupidest stuff on the history of planet Earth. Like, I'm just, like, I'll tell my son, oh my God, this is literally the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, again, maybe when I was doing whatever I was doing, reading Sports Illustrated when I was his age, because that's what we did, or that's what I did in the 90s, maybe my parents thought that was ridiculous. I don't know. But they see all this stuff, and it's just become the norm, you know? And again, I don't know where the death of self-awareness happened, but it's one thing to do these things. Every kid grows up and doesn't know what the hell they're doing and needs some guidance, but we just accept and make it normal to bleep up, basically. And I know, I sound probably like an old man. I don't think of myself as one. But imagine if my son was an NFL draft prospect, potential first round pick, even though it didn't happen, and he painted the walls of his draft room with words like legendary and perfect and this, that, and the other, and it was going to be on TV and all this. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Like, go to Home Depot right now and get a pole and a paint roller and get some plain gray paint and paint this shit over in the next 5 milliseconds, or even though you're 21 years old, I will still kick your ass because you don't know what the hell you're doing and you need guidance. That's what I would I'd say to my father. Like, are you kidding me right now? Like, did that ever occur to anybody? It wouldn't in the Sanders family, obviously. And so that's my two cents. You know, it's just, everybody's got different parenting styles, and maybe I'll look like a dummy. Maybe Shador will go on and take the world over and be one of the best quarterbacks on time. Either way, it was a fun lead up to the draft process. It was cool for a little while. I'm glad it's over. I'm glad the Bucks have Emeka Egbuka. Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame, I thought was a really good pick. I know I only talked about the first round pick earlier in the show, and Morrison, you know, had some hip stuff. The hip injury and the surgery, which is what allowed him really to fall where he was taken by the Bucks in the late middle of the second round. But to me, corners, that's another one. You know, Jamel Dean's great, but he's hurt every 10 minutes too. So to get two guys back-to-back in Morrison and Jacob Parrish, and especially, you know, it's all a numbers game, right? Like, the odds of any one guy working out, you don't know. But now that you drafted two in Benjamin Morrison and Jacob Parrish, I'll bet you one of those two guys ends up being a starting corner for the Buccaneers for a decent amount of time. And it ends up, you don't know which one it'll be. And I hope both of them do. I mean, that'd be great, you know. But it's a numbers game, and they improved their numbers. They solidified themselves at that position. The two edge guys down lower, again, maybe one of those two guys works out. And then Tez Johnson in the seventh round is an interesting guy. Only 154 pounds. It's funny because the Bucs got the lightest guy in the draft at Tez Johnson, 154 pounds. Then as a free agent, they get Dez Watson from Florida, who even knows? You know, you hear all these different numbers. He weighed in at 450, 460, 430, whatever it is. But Dez, they got literally one guy who's triple the size of a different guy they got. Like, literally triple. And then, I mean, people are saying if you put Dez Watson next to Vita Vea, that's your front four right there with just two guys. We'll see. Dez Watson, I loved him at UF. He obviously was a novelty. He's not exactly, I mean, he would have been drafted higher or drafted at all if he was. He's not exactly in tip-top shape. He can hold the line a little bit down there in the middle, but, you know, you're going to need to do more than that in the NFL. We'll see if it works out with him. Anyway, good draft for the Bucs, we think. Nobody knows for sure. I'll take it. And now we move on. We've got rookie minicamp. That is, I'm recording this show on Thursday, which is early afternoon. So a week from tomorrow is when the minicamp starts, May 9th, 10th, 11th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Next weekend, they'll get all the rookies and undrafted free agents in for a little three-day thing. Some teams do 3 days. Some teams do 2 days. Some teams do just 1 day. The Bucs are having a three-day one. Then Wednesday, May 14th, the schedule release. That'll be fun. I'm looking forward to when that comes out. We'll do the show the next day. We always go over the schedule a little bit. Even though you know the opponents, the schedule's always fun. You look at prime time. You look at bye week. You look at rest differential. We're going to throw it all at you like we always do on the post-schedule release show. And short of that, we're into the offseason now. There's no more combine. There's no more free agency. There's no more draft process. There's just a rookie minicamp, then some other minicamps, then training camp, and it happens faster than you think. As we start the month of May, you know, we've really got basically 3 full months of no football, unless you count Dunedin Highlanders semi-pro football. We have a game Saturday. I'll be out there at least until I get hurt, which, you know, hopefully I'll be able to avoid. And then there's the UFL and all that stuff. But hey, May's got the Triple Crown race. I always want to give my Derby pick out on the show. I don't have it yet. I'm still going back and forth between going with the favorite journalism, which I don't usually like to do, but it's tempting this time. I also like Grande, kind of under the radar. Think he could run a big race. And I'm looking at a few others. I'll tweet it out for any of you who care, because one of my favorite days of the year, one of my favorite sporting events of the whole anything is the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in May. That's this weekend, and then we've got the Rays in full swing. Of course, the Lightning are done. Now, there's things that'll keep us occupied, but football season, not as far away as you think. So, until we come back next time, I want to thank the Joes for giving me the platform. JoeBucksFan.com, the single best place anywhere, TV, internet, radio, for Bucks coverage. They've been on fire lately, like always, and it doesn't matter what time of year, even in the offseason, multiple articles a day, constant coverage. It doesn't get any better. Thanks to them for giving me this platform to get in front of all of you, because without them, I would not have the opportunity to reach as nearly as many people as I do. And thanks to all of you for listening. Have a great first weekend in May. Hopefully the drought ends soon. We get some rain around the Bay Area. Until then, be safe. Have fun. Get in the pool this weekend. Have some fun outdoors, whatever it is. And we'll get ready for the next free stretch. But until then, I will see you on the other side. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.